Today in Canadian history, July 12th. I'm Joe Barima. July 12th, 1920, Canadian Pierre Burton was born. I can, of course, toss in some other titles: historian, author, journalist, storyteller, bow tie wearer. These titles certainly apply, but it just seems more appropriate to start with Canadian. For many Canadians, books like The Last Spike and Klondike changed the way we tackled our history and viewed our nation. Larry Hannant is an instructor at Camosun College in Victoria and an associate adjunct professor at the University of Victoria.
He started as a journalist and made his mark at the Vancouver Sun, well, the Vancouver News Herald first, but then the Vancouver Sun, and then the Toronto Star, and then Maclean's magazine as well. So he really got his start in journalism, and his historical work came a little later. It was not till 1958. That he published his first really significant book of history. It was really his book on the Klondike. You know, he's returning to his own roots in some ways about the Klondike gold rush, that he begins to sort of chart the path that he would follow in a very significant way through the 1970s and 80s.
How did his approach to writing about Canadian history differ from the other Canadian historians of the day?
It was very much influenced by his journalistic interest in people. So the books, the histories of the time, especially that written by academics, tended to be about big stories, about the politicians at the top of the society, or the great millionaires and the like. Burton was always interested in the ordinary folks, and his histories were always they successfully captured the stories of ordinary folk. They're the remarkable stories about ordinary folk. So his history wasn't top-down history. It was very much what we would call social history, in a time when social history wasn't even seen as that important, but it was history from the bottom up. It celebrated ordinary folks and their remarkable experiences and the ways that they rose to the occasion of extraordinary circumstances. Academic historians, I think, to start with, were pretty skeptical of Pierre Burton. They thought that he was a newcomer. He was really a journalist. He was sort of inexperienced. He didn't have the academic background. He tended to focus on vignettes, stories, rather than sort of the grand picture. And so he was, in some cases, I think, by some historians, academic historians, that is, dismissed. He didn't care a fig either for academic historians either. There's a fascinating sort of account of him where he said, "I'm not an historian," and he told a story about how when he was a student at the University of British Columbia, he submitted an essay to a UBC professor, and the prof rejected the paper, writing across every page, "Too journalistic." And years later, when he was the managing editor of Maclean's, Burton received a manuscript from the same professor, and Burton scrawled across every page the words, "Too academic." Burton's legacy is not just history. The history is there for sure, and the grand nationals of epics are certainly an important part of of his repertoire. The big stories about wars and about accomplishments, such as the settling of the West by European settlers, or the Battle of Vimy Ridge, or the railroad establishment of the railroad. But I think no less important, he was an activist in addition to being a writer. He was one of the co-founders of the Committee for an Independent Canada in the 1970s, when Canadians became much more strongly concerned about the survival of their culture in the face of an American cultural onslaught. He was one of the founders, and for a time, the president of the Writers Union of Canada. So he always wanted to protect writers and protect culture and saw that basically making sure that they had a livelihood was an important part of it. So he was both, I think, a writer, a great cultural sort of nationalist and a populist, but also a defender of people who do that kind of activity, most of whom he believes didn't get paid well enough for the kind of work that they did. Of course, then there's the bow ties. So we shouldn't forget that. Not very many Canadians in his time had the chutzpah to wear a bow tie.
The power of the bow tie should not be underestimated.
It should not be. It should be revered in some ways.
As always, today is a day full of Canadian history. Back in 1981, forestry workers in BC went on strike, essentially shutting down the industry temporarily. In 1849, 12 people died in a riot between Orangemen and Catholics in St. John, New Brunswick. And during the War of 1812, 2,500 American troops invaded Canada and occupied the town of Sandwich, Ontario. And we aired this episode of Today in Canadian History.
Today in Canadian History is produced by CJSW at 90.9 FM in Calgary. The executive producers are Joe Barima and Mark Affeld. Original music is provided by the Fisk, Fletcher, and May Trio. This series is not meant to be a definitive source on our past. Instead, we hope that it sparks a desire to learn more about our unique history. For more information on the series, or to recommend an event or moment, check out our website at cgsw.com/todayincanadianhistory.
Random Canadiana Trivia. Babe Ruth hit his first professional home run in Toronto in 1914.